we're speaking today on personal growth. We spoke on that last week. This week, I want to just go to an area that we all can learn from. I've learned from it. I probably participated in some of it. I try now to participate in this in fullness, and it's a transformation of your mind, and it has to do with your peace. How many of you find yourself sometimes, I find myself sometimes, struggling with peace, you know? Yes, there's whenever I get my thoughts straight and know what to do, but most of the time it's circumstances and situations that come and hinder our peace. And circumstances and situations all come from people problems or other problems. And so we just have to realize that when we're dealing with people, you know, things are pretty easy to manage. Things break. Things fail. You know, things don't always go the way you hope they do. But people, every person is built a little differently. Every person, there's just a lot more history back there behind them. There's a story in every individual. There's circumstances and things that you have to think about. And there's connections and dots that you have to look at. Amen? And so today I'm going to talk to you about something that will help you in your personal growth at work. It will help you advance at work. How many of you are in a job you'd like to see advancement? All right. If you're wanting to see advancement in your life, if you're wanting to have more friends in your life, if you're wanting to have more quality friends in your life, how many of you got friends and then you got quality friends? Amen? Do you want any more just friends or would you like to have more quality friends? Amen? So this is all about personal growth. How many of you would like to have more quality and closer walk with God? Okay, I'm going to tell you, this principle will not ever fail with God. Okay? If you want to get closer to God, approach is everything. Approach is everything. So let's just go to the Word, because it's where the answers are at. Amen? Every time. A lot of people cannot get any closer to God simply because of this principle right here. And I'm just going to ask you another question. How many of you have friends that see the glass half empty? How many of you got friends that see the glass half full? Amen. And some of you have friends that see the glass overflowing. Doesn't matter what's in it. They just see it overflowing. Amen. So what ones you allow in are going to be the difference in your quality of life. Okay? So who you hang around with matters. Who you listen to. See, I don't know everything. I'll tell you right up front, I don't know everything. And I'm not impressed with anybody who thinks they do. I'm not. I'm not impressed with what you know. I'm impressed with what you understand. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. And so it's not about what you know. Anybody that's raised teenagers and children up to the age of 25 to 30, okay, you know what I'm talking about, because they get out there and they get information. Information you already know. But they come in like it's new information. And they're trying to explain to you this new information. But in all their knowing, they don't understand it because they haven't lived it. And in this generation, they're running to a search engine and they're not running to people who have had experiences. That search engine has no experience. It just gives you information. But it's behind that information when God said it in His Word. He said, in all you're getting, of talking about knowledge, Get understanding of it. Amen? All right? So now all this melts together. If you go with me over to the book of Mark, chapter 14, a beautiful illustration here. And I'm going to read it from the God's Word translation because I don't have time to translate all of it for you in detail, but this gives a really good detail. Go down to verse 13. Jesus is getting ready to lay his life down. He's getting in position. He's just about to pray his last prayer. He's about to give his life for us. Amen. To bring us back into relationship with him. And he sent two of his disciples and told them. I like that he never uses their names. This is for everyone. He sent two of his disciples and told them, go into the city. You will meet a man carrying a jug of water. Follow him. When he goes into a house, tell the owner that the teacher asks, where is my room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs and show you a large room. The room will be completely furnished. Get everything ready for us. All right? First of all, I want you to notice, he said, go into the city and look for someone carrying a jug of water. The second thing I want you to notice is you follow. The man with water is going to lead you someplace. The man with water doesn't have all the answers either. But the man with water knows how to take you someplace. He's taking you to a house where there's an owner. Not a renter, not a squatter, an owner. Okay? Not someone who's borrowing, he owns it. And then that owner is going to take you to a place where they can have the Passover and it's already prepared. All the disciples had to do was to receive. And what were they receiving? A place for Passover. What is Passover? What was that? What was that to them and to us right now? It is taking the Lord's Supper. What does the Lord's Supper do for you when you take it? Well, you're receiving healing. And you're receiving, you're getting a reminder of your healing and your reminder that God wants to treat you as if sin never existed. No guilt, no condemnation, no pointing fingers, no judgment. Just wants to take you to a room prepared for Jesus to show up to remind you once again, I wish to treat you as if sin never existed. Now, if we look at sin, sin is the foundation of everything wrong with us. Every strife you'll deal with, every problem you'll deal with, every circumstance and situation you will deal with, everything that brings torment to you, struggle, strife, argument, confusion, disappointment, discouragement, depression, addiction, all of those things come from sin, amen, and sin's effects. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, brings death. And that's for everyone. That's for the child of God, and that's for the child who has never received him. That's why he goes on to say, sin has no hold on you. Well, how do I get in a position where sin has no hold on me? Well, we've got to find the man with a pitcher of water. And in your life, you've already told me you have people in your life that carry water. And you've already told me that you have people in your life that carry gasoline. People will carry one or the other. They will carry water or they will carry gasoline. And those who carry gasoline, with their words, they will spew out matchsticks. And you know what people do with matchsticks? They play with them. And it won't be long, the whole thing goes up. Whew. Wow. You know, that's what happens in most churches. Most of your church problems, I'm going to say all your church problems, comes down to the pastor doesn't know the difference between the carrier of gasoline and the carrier of water. And what happens to most pastors is they're running around. Now, as parents, as someone at church, at work, a manager, I can talk to any manager in any position, in any location, and there are times they've found themselves just running around trying to put out fires. Do you know why they're running around putting out fires? Because they have people in there carrying gasoline. And they're dropping gasoline, and as they're dropping gasoline, they're spewing out matchsticks. And it's not long before he's got fires everywhere, and now he's distracted from his leadership position trying to put out. How many times have you been distracted in life trying to put out fires that somebody else started? Oh, my. Personal growth. I have learned people will come either with answers or with problems. Half empty, half full. They either come with solutions or more circumstances for you to deal with. And some people, they're good Christian people. But because of where they've sat, what they've listened to, and and some people sit in a place. Here's the optimal gaslighter. Is the guy who sits in a church and they don't teach much. It's not real deep. You've taken baths a lot deeper than what they're preaching there. And all of a sudden you get revelation and you know something somebody else doesn't know. But you just know knowledge is all you know. You don't have understanding of it. And you want to get that knowledge out because I know something. You ever know those people? I know something. I know I have an answer. I sat underneath somebody. I heard something. And what they don't know is they don't have understanding. They don't get the Spirit of God brings the understanding, and experience brings the understanding. Understanding that every individual that you will, one thing I like, when somebody comes to me wanting prayer, I want to listen to them. Unless God has shown me something before I get there, He will show me something as they begin to give their story. He'll begin to show me. I don't try to have an answer because one, even the right answer can produce gasoline. And me trying to give them another answer produces a matchstick. Let me say it this way. How many of you have ever tried to talk to somebody, and the more you give them, the more frustrated they get? You're carrying gas. You're carrying gas, and you didn't know it. Who is peace? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, right? Okay. So if it's His words coming in, what will it produce? What will it produce? And if it's His words coming in, it's speaking the heart's language. See, that's why I have to listen. Because without listening, and I'm not so much listening so much what they're telling me, I'm listening to the Spirit as to what will speak their heart's language to bring peace to this, because I want to bring water to them. What does water do? Water represents the Spirit. Water represents the Word. Water represents refreshment. Water represents restoration. Refreshment, restoration, rest, and to restore them. To where are we restoring them to? To a place where God can treat them as if sin never existed. As if the situation that happened to them never took place. As if when it's all said and done, everyone around them that meets them in the future will say, there's no way that ever happened to them. I cannot believe it. That's the place God wants to take all of us. And so what I do in my life is I listen to people when they come to me. See, everything's on the approach. I've learned how to approach Vic Porter. You all know Vic Porter, but you don't know Vic Porter. I know Vic Porter. And when I contact Vic Porter, I even though I know him, the more familiar I get with him, the more sensitive I am to my approach to him. The closer I get to God, the more sensitive I am to my approach to him. And the more sensitive I am to that approach, the more keenly aware I understand my own value and how people should approach me. See, what will happen as you learn this, you begin to understand and understand your value. You are chosen. God created you in your mother's womb. There's no one like you. You're a one of a kind. You're not a one in a million. You are one of a kind. There is not another one like you. Though you are a creature of habit, and humans are habitual, and we can, and there's that makes you easy prey for Satan. There is no one like you. And you've got to understand your value. And when you begin to understand your value, you begin to understand how you allow people to come to you. I will not have a lot to do with you if every time you come to me is you got a problem, a circumstance, a situation, a something I got to fix, somebody's got to fix, somebody's got to do. Well, I'm going to keep my distance from you. I'm looking for people that have solutions. I'm looking for people that have answers. Answers and solutions still say there's a problem. You see? It still says there's a problem. But we are working on an answer to the problem rather than just bringing the problem. Or rather than just bringing, we're not toting. See, and you don't have to have all the answers. I've learned I don't have to have all the answers. But if I can lead you to someone with the answers, or if I can lead you to someone or to something that will take you to a place prepared for you for a visitation from the Lord yourself to take the Passover with you and you alone, then now I have succeeded. And you've succeeded. I'm looking for someone that may not have all the answers, but I can follow what they're bringing water to me. And they're leading me to a place where it's not got the frustration, the confusion, the works, but it has a place of rest in it, a place of where we eliminate sin. We eliminate the workings of sin. And we find an answer that treats us as if sin doesn't exist. Am I making any sense to anybody here? You cannot grow in God when you go to God or when you live a life that allows all this in your life. I've said it this way, you know, you've got kitchen friends. You got front porch friends. You got sidewalk friends and you got drive-by friends. And you better figure out which ones are which. Not everybody your home is open to. You want to be the Christian because they've told you you're supposed to be. And they'll teach you that you just humble yourself and you just, you know, you just open up the door and you just let everybody in. Then explain to me why Jesus separated himself from the others. Explain to me why Jesus only took the 12 up, or the 11, well, he took the 12, one left, but why did he just take the 12 up to have Passover? Why didn't he take the 120? Why didn't he take the masses? Why did he just send two disciples? Why didn't he send all 12? See, there's some stuff God's wanting to work in you, and he's giving you common sense illustrations in his word to help you understand. You can be kind to people, but you've got to stop them from just coming with problems all the time. You got to keep them out there on the perimeter of your life. Can't let them in because all they have are problems. And what solutions they think they have, because if they're coming with problems, they have no revelation of grace. Hello? They have no revelation of peace. They have no revelation of God's ability to do. I'm not saying you don't discuss the problem. You can discuss the problem because by discussing the problem, you can address the answers if you're looking for answers. But if we're just wanting to create problems, or we got more problems, or we got more something else to deal with, something else, what's going to happen there is they have a knowledge, they don't have an understanding. Now let's take a look at your life and your personal growth and look at those people that have knowledge and understanding, and then look at the people that just have knowledge. How many people in your life have knowledge and how many people have understanding? I can tell you right now, the understanding is going to be a lot less. Amen? Amen? So now now doesn't mean you never hang out with the ones that have no understanding. Because how are they ever going to get it? But it means you don't let them into your kitchen. You don't set them down at your table and eat. You've got to lead them, and you've got to stop them and correct that and get that reset in their life. Find the answer, you know. As a pastor, I can have a gajillion fires going on at once. And what I have to do sometimes is just ignore them. Ignore them? They're fires. Well, they'll burn out. They'll run out of fuel. Amen. And they'll figure it out. Amen. What you've got to learn to do, Jesus is the one that gave them instruction. Go find the guy with the water. He didn't tell you to go find the guy with the gasoline, with the fuel. Amen? He said, go find the one who's carrying the water. And he said, follow him. Here's the problem with people who carry gasoline. They don't want to follow anybody. And you got to just let them run out of gasoline. You can't run after people with gasoline. They'll set your whole field on fire. They'll set your whole life on fire. They'll light you up. You've got to take control of that and make a decision that I'm not going to let myself be affected by that. What happens when fires start? Where's your peace at? And you're operating on an emergency mode. What happens when you're operating in emergency mode? Are you more susceptible to mistakes or less susceptible to mistakes when you're operating in an emergency mode? More susceptible to mistakes. So if you're running after fires all the time, you're more apt to make more and more mistakes. And all those mistakes you're making with your personal growth, trying to grow in the kingdom of God, grow at work, become the leader that God's called you to be, the more mistakes you make, the more those mistakes you have to deal with. You got to go back and fix that, as well as take care of the fires. So what's the answer to this? This thing that Satan likes to get us all caught up in, and we're basically just chasing our tail. You've got to stop allowing and following after and entering in and letting the gaslighter or the gas carrier in your life. You've got to stop following them. You've got to allow God, go if this is biblical principle, there's somebody carrying water in your life. Don't bring gasoline to them. Hello? Don't be a carrier of that, but carry water to them. Amen? I've learned just how to handle Vic Porter. And not when I say handle him, I don't mean that to be in a way of any negative connotation there. But I know that when I call him, I try to call him remembering the value that he is in my life. Knowing that he's a water carrier. And since he's a water carrier, I want to come into his life when I enter it. I want to enter it carrying water. So a lot of times, unless I just have a problem that I need him, and I've also understood, even coming with my problems, I come with solutions. I would like for you to come into agreement with me. I have this problem. And I've already studied out the word, and this is what I see. And, you know, since he is more experienced than me, and he's one of my go-to people. He's like a pastor to me. When I go to him and I've already got a word to stand on, I leave room for him to have a word to stand on. Because he's a voice in my life, and I don't always have the answers. I need the voice to speak into my life. So I'm listening for him. Sometimes he'll come in with great wisdom, and other times he says, I'll call you back later on in the week. And I know he's going to focus on that. Amen? But I'm careful because he is a voice in my life. I'm very careful how I approach him. Why? Because God, if he's a voice in my life, then God sent him. If God sent him, then he's very valuable to me because he's from God. He's a gift of God. If he's a gift of God, then I'm going to handle him differently. I'm not going to just pepper his life with problems all the time. I'm putting that pepper shaker away when I get around him because he's a gift from God. Amen. I'm careful how I talk to him. I'm careful how I approach him. I'm careful. Why am I careful? Am I carrying him around with kid gloves? No. I cherish the gift that's been given to me. You see? And when we love going over there and helping them. And the first year we went over there and helped them with an ISW meeting, I know we drove them crazy. You know how I know he drove him crazy? Because he sent me to the store. Every time you send a child to the store, usually it's because they're driving you crazy. You know, you're working there on something and you know we need something from the store, you go get it because I'm going to finish this out. Hello, husbands, has your wife ever turned to you in the middle of fixing something, and, you know, when you're driving her crazy and she sends you to the store, you know. I knew he was sending me to the store because he needed to get me out of his hair, you know. But as we learned, what I was doing that first time, I was coming to him with all these questions of how he wanted this and how he wanted that and this, that, and the other. And I was bombarding him with questions. In his mind, he had this whole thing to set up, and he's got his mind on other things, and I'm just driving him crazy with ice and cups and, you know, stuff that just doesn't matter. Yes, we need ice. Yes, we need cups, okay? You know, he's worrying. He's dealing with the ministry that day. Who's going to show up? How the, you know, who's going to be in order? Is the video going to work? Are they coming on time? The music. He's dealing with all these important issues to minister to people's hearts, and I'm worrying him about napkins and cups and forks. You know. And what I learned was in that first time around with him, don't pepper him with all that mess. Go figure it out. Look around for a minute. Who else is in charge here? What can I do to help you get it done? That's what I'm here to do. I go into my servant's heart mode. Are we approaching any situation as a servant? Or are we just wanting to let somebody know how much we know? I was trying to let Vic know I'm qualified here. I know you're going to need cups, and I know you're going to need this, and you're going to need that, and I'm trying to help you out. And Vic's like, I don't care about cups and forks and knives. I don't care. Well, what about the way the tables are set? I don't care. That's for somebody else to deal with, you see? What he cares about is when it's all ready to go, that all the cups and the forks and the plates are in place. Why? Because the people are going to eat, and they need something to eat off of and something to eat with. What is it about? The people. A servant's heart is about the people and not about getting something done and how it's being done. It's about the people. I appreciate these gentlemen so much more on this lawn. I do. I said something to them the other day. I said, a lawn cut is like, here's how I look at a lawn cut. A bad haircut or a good haircut, they both grow out. You know, they both grow out. But it also is what people see when they drive by. They don't see all the little things, but they drive by and they can see the lawn's cut. And they see how it's cut. And when they see it, they talk about it. What are you producing? An excellency of ministry. Did you hear me? Not perfect, but excellent. And there's a difference. Not perfect, but excellence. And people recognize excellence. Excellence says you care. My wife's fixed a lot of excellent meals. None of them perfect, but excellence. You know why they're excellent? Because she cares. Why? Because she cares about, what does she care about? How her meal looks? No, she cares about the person who's going to eat it. People who carry gasoline are not caring about the people. They're caring about what people see them do. They're caring about what people, how people see them. They're cared about how they have something to say. They know something. So you know it. Do something about it. Fix it. Do whatever you got to do. Hello? Do you need somebody coming into your life all the time? As a manager at a place, I know I've managed before, I've had more people come up and say something about what somebody else did or how this is not working. Well, did I teach you how to fix it? Do you know how to fix it? Yeah, well, then fix it. The company will provide. Don't bother me with that. I've got something else to deal with. See, there's a servant. One who's constantly coming wanting you to fix. What they're wanting to do is they're wanting acknowledgement that I know something. And I'm the one coming to you with the information. That's going to draw me closer to you. That's a big mistake for management to make, is let the fire starter come snuggle up close to them. Big mistake. Big mistake in management. Put the fire starter out there on the red edges. Let them burn up the ditches. Leave the grass alone. Leave the fields alone and leave the building alone. Amen? So I'm helping you understand, when you're listening to someone approach you, look at your children, how they approach you. How did you train your children to approach you? I don't want my children coming to me with a problem. Dad's here to help. Absolutely. But don't shower me with problems. That takes away my peace. And I can't hear God for you, because I'm always hearing your problems. Hello? See, we're to hear God for our children too. Matter of fact, you're supposed to hear God for your children first before you hear God for anybody else. Is this making any sense to anyone? I know this is not a fiery message, and you know, but I'm trying to help you get into spiritual growth. And it's layer upon layer and line upon line and precept upon precept. And this is part of the precept you've got to grab a hold of, is you're valuable. And your ears are not made for junk. And you've got to help manage that in your life without hurting people's feelings. Without slapping them in the face, slamming a door in their face. See, you don't do that either. You've got to, this is with love that we operate in this. But we need to always be looking for the water. Look for the water in your life. Who brings the water? People watch leaders. And you don't understand why you're never one who they like and go out to eat with and spend time with, you know? You want to be that one. You want to be close. You want to be part of that. But I can tell you, part of that, not all of it, but part of it has to do with, what do you bring to the table? Do you bring water or do you bring gasoline? Do you bring answers or do you bring more questions? Do you bring more solutions or do you bring more problems? What are you bringing to the table? How am I going to talk? Am I going to talk like a man or a woman with the glass half full, or I'm going to go talk like a man or a woman with the glass half empty? Every time I talk to Vic Porter, I always go to him. I don't care what I'm going through that day, and I may be, because we all have days when I'm just trying to relate to you how I do this and how I've learned. And Vic's probably been one of the greatest teachers to me in this. Because I noticed, you notice when you come in with a glass half full or the glass overflowing, and it's really an empty glass, but in your eyes it's overflowing, amen? A few days later, he's calling me back. Why? He's wanting to talk to me some more. Why? Because I came with fresh water. But when I come without fresh water, he might not want to talk to me for a few days. Hello? Now, if he's listening, I know that's nothing personal. I just notice that's humans. And that's coming from a man who's looking for someone with water. That's a very wise man. Amen? You become a very wise man or woman when you start looking for people in your life that are carrying water. And step back from those who are always carrying gasoline. Hello? They'll gaslight you. They'll get them fumes up, and then the conversation will come, and then all of a sudden you're wondering, where did all this confusion and strife come from? It's like it all exploded, and you can't find the ends to bring them into meet. What happened? Part of that was you allowed that in. Not here at this door. Not here at this house. Not here in my life. No. I want to talk to you about the way you approach me. If you want to come to me, you come to me with answers, even though you got a problem. When I got a problem and I got to call Vic, because I do, on a regular basis. He pastored several churches, built a few of those churches. He knows. He's been a lecturer at a Christian university or a Christian college for years. His wife worked alongside Dr. Lester Summerall. So there's a lot about them you don't know. Vic's worked alongside with people, knew Kenneth Hagin. I mean, he knows some stuff. Knows some people. Y'all didn't know a lot of that. But here's the thing, because I don't like name dropping. But here's the thing. Through that, he learned around those men how to approach. How'd he get where he's at? Because he learned how to approach. As you learn how to approach, now through him, I've been able to learn how to approach. Amen. Amen. So I hope you can take this with wisdom and simply in your life go looking for people who have water. This is not a, don't take this message and turn it that I'm going to go out and I got to get rid of everybody that carries gasoline. Okay? That the message is not the negative connotation, getting rid of everybody who carries gasoline. The message is, look for the person who's carrying the bottle of water. As you begin to get those into your life, the ones who are carrying the gasoline will dissipate. It'll water that gasoline down. Amen? They won't find their fit in there. They won't understand why, because their maturity level, they're just not getting there. Amen? This is a pretty mature message right here. This is a pretty grow you up message here. Look, say it with me, look for the man or woman carrying water. When I go to work Monday, I'm going to look for the person who's carrying water. Who's bringing the answers? Who's got the solutions? I'm going to hang out with them. I'm going to be a part of the team here that brings the answers and solutions to the problem, not creates more problems. When we do that, we create for ourselves more opportunities, positive opportunities, opportunities for growth, opportunities for connection, opportunities for promotion, opportunities for leadership, opportunities for influence. Can I take this off of you and we're going to close with this? Don't look to influence everyone. Jesus influenced 12. And he led 12. And those 12, one replaced with Paul, but still 12. With those 12, those 12 turned the world around. I think sometimes we're just trying to minister to everybody, try and do a good thing here and a good thing there. If I'm not going to get involved, if I can't make an influence. Did you just hear me what I said? I'm not getting involved unless I can bring influence. If I can't bring influence, then I'm not interested in getting involved. And that means every good little Christian thing you got in every good little Christian church, they got all kinds of things you can do. But it's not until you understand, until you're making an impact in people's lives. It's not about doing things. It's about impacting their lives. If I can't impact their life and influence them, then I'm not involved. How can I influence the life? Amen? Amen. All right, I don't have time to go into all that, but I think you get it. You will if you don't. You will get it. Amen? Amen. We're looking for the man with a pitcher of water. Amen? That's what we're looking for. God bless you, and God bless you out there. I hope you grab a hold of this. I hope you get some understanding with it. I think that it will help your life and enrich your life to grow with Christ. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Happy 4th of July.